Hello. Welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandelo Kandepwe, also known as Aka. Cool. This is another day, another episode. Like you always say, another day, another dollar. And I get to do something cool, which is have one of my friends on this episode. Or just on a random day. When don't I have any of my friends here? Honestly. So one thing I like about the podcast is to share some of my friends with you, and you get to have a glimpse of the type of relationships, some of the things we believe in, and how we are living life. So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce my friend Mavis Simiawa, also known as Mrs. B. Hi, Mavis.
Hi, Aka. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm good, good, good. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me. I get to be the first friend that you've had here. I'm
not sure. I had Julius. I don't know if you count.
Oh, your female friend. Female friend.
Rub it in, Mavis. Rub it in.
That's an honor.
I know. I get to have one of my, from my circle, like you're from like the enclosed circle. I did have some of my female friends, but you are from the
inner circle.
The inner, it's like the circles, and we have like the circle within the circle. Yeah, yeah, in the, I think the last circle of inner friends. So I'm kind of like, okay, cool, cool, cool. Let's see what maybe, and you set the standard for everybody else in that circle. So I hope you set a good one.
No pressure.
No pressure. Small issue. So you know one thing I love about you over the years is how you're so entangled with fashion, if that's a good word. Like, you're such a fashion enthusiast that when we had our first business in within that inner circle, again, we had this first business, and it was about fashion. You'd dress us up, you'd make us buy clothes from you, you would do everything. Like a few weeks ago or a few days ago, we were shopping as friends, and we were like, Mavis, what should we buy? Mavis, does this look good? What do you think? So yeah, like, where does the interest for fashion come from?
I've always loved fashion because for me, fashion is a way I express myself. And particularly, I always want to stand out and wear something different. And most of the time when I wear something, I always get the, where did you get this from? Oh, maybe I love your style. So it's very flattering. I love to stand out and be able to express myself. And I've always had this, even during, I think must have started in college. You know, college is a place where you want to explore different things. You are still discovering who you are. You want to experiment with different, different areas of your lives. And for me, fashion, it took me to fashion. Oh, yeah, I've always wanted to express myself through, because I believe fashion is an art. I think you agree with me, because you're also a fashion powerhouse, Aka.
I try.
In fact, I'm actually inspired by you most of the time.
I wear the most weirdest thing. And when I leave the house, my mom just goes like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going out. I'm like, I'll look good in it. That's in my head. I'm always thinking I look good.
So that's the thing about like having a style. You should, there are no rules. You get to make your own rules. You get to mix and match, combine this with this. It's like you're experimenting every day and trying to figure out what you like and what you don't like. So that's the beauty of fashion. I love it. So, some people paint. For me, I wear clothes.
I like how you talked about how you use fashion to express yourself. I also use fashion and hair color to express myself. Yes, like my hair color is, it's something I'm saying to people's faces because I can't say it with my mouth. Like, oh, that's a lot of BS, but I'll have pink hair just to tell you I'm going to do it anyway. Or I choose not to fit in. And yeah, of late, people have been asking me if I like the color green. And I'm like, do I? I love it. But I also just, as you use fashion to express yourself, I also believe that color and prints come with a certain energy. And when you walk into a room, you will give out that energy, for the lack of better term. So if I am wearing something yellow, pink, bright, trust me, I am coming as a ray of light. If I am wearing something black, I am here for business and I'm out and I won't socialize. So what do you think about that? Do you think that how you just create some sort of, I know it does say a lot about you, when it comes to color and energy, have you experienced that?
Yes, I have experienced it. And I read somewhere where it said, is it your appearance enters the room before you? Which
Yeah.
is very true. Because you don't walk around with your qualifications or your personality written on your forehead. The first thing that people see when they are meeting you for the first time is how you present yourself outwardly, how you are dressed. So
Yeah.
different colors mean different energies. For example, according to like color analysts, they say red means you're bold, you are confident. Yellow might mean you are like you're free spirited, you are cheerful, you are joyful. So different colors, and it's like black. Is it navy blue means business? Like you're not taking anything less than when you enter a room. So how you dress and how you combine different colors does matter. You can't just throw whatever random color that you feel like. So yeah, dressing really represents you. It speaks on your behalf before you even open your mouth. So that is why I take it seriously. It's not just for fun. For me, I want to be addressed in a certain way. And I want to be taken seriously. In as much as I have done, a few things here and there. But there are certain people that will not take you seriously based on your appearance. And it's almost everybody. Because even I, no matter how accomplished you are. If your dressing is not, it's not there. You don't have to have nice clothes. You just need to know how to put things together and look presentable in front of other people. So for me, that speaks volumes.
I actually I'm gonna read out some of my favorite colors that I always wear. I'll start with one, pink. Pink means love yourself, love for oneself and others, romance. That's so me. Yellow is joy, positivity. Purple is luxury, abundance, independence, and mystery. Ooh, that's so.
Royalty, actually.
Yes, and royalty. Ooh, I like green. So green means nature, love, safety, and jealousy. I'm a brownish and a nude person, which means warmth, abundance, wholeness, and security. True. Brown is such a warm color. When you wear it, it's like, yeah, I think those are like my favorite colors. And orange. Orange is abundance, warmth, determination, and success. White is innocence, safety, illusion, and perfection. I rarely wear white, but I like it. So I'm looking at my what? My personality through. I also love lavender. Lavender means youth and.
Because when you
Pardon?
say I think I remember you love yellow so much. Even
I
the text,
do.
right? That shop looking for clothes, you
I
kept like, anything
was
yellow,
like,
anything.
I know. Yeah, I love yellow and I love purple so much. I love pink. Pink reminds me of my childhood, like my childhood memories. Because my mom would always get me anything pink and purple. And when I went in my teen and after post high school, I discarded those colors. But yeah, like I'm such a green person as well. Because it's just like, yeah.
There's
I remember.
something tranquil about green. It's very soothing and therapeutic, I guess. Since it aligns with nature, right?
Yeah, it's nature, and I love nature so much. And there's something about brown. Have you noticed when you're wearing brown or you're wearing nude clothes? And it's just
There's
does
such a
something like shades of brown, or like you got into nude, kind of.
there's some sort of calmness that comes with those shades. I feel it as well.
Yeah, like, and you feel so light. Like, even if every time I don't feel like showing up and I wear a brown color, nude and everything, I feel so calm. It's like, I mean, when I'm wearing nude, I'm in my calm phase. When I'm wearing yellow, I just want to show up, be bright, be the sun, be the energy you want. When it's pink, I just am like, yay, I love myself enough to have pink hair, so you're on your own if you don't like it.
So meaning the color that you choose on a particular day depends on how you are feeling.
Yes, I am such a few person, like I'm an introvert and mostly I am a few person, so I'm like today I'm wearing brown and black. It just shows that I don't want to go where I'm going, which is work, but I'm still going, you know.
Still showing up.
Yeah. But I'm warm enough, and brown just makes me feel safe and makes me feel like everything is okay. I just need to show up and do my stuff and leave. So yeah. Before we go, move on. So, black means elegance, power, mystery, evil, and death.
Oh,
One of Sopane's favorite is black and red. Red means romance, sensitivity, leadership, willpower, danger. I like how there's a good and a bad. That's so balanced. That's what I'm telling you about
exactly.
the
You
good
can't
and
be
the bad.
all nice. You need a
Yeah,
balance.
it needs a
Okay.
balance. One of your favorites, which is blue, means stability, loyalty, and confidence. That's why you're always business in blue. I get you, sis.
Back to mom. I also love purple.
Yeah. Purple is such a nice color.
Me, it's royalty. It's like when I'm wearing something purple, and I love purple occasionally. Okay, I love it's my favorite color, but it's not something that I would wear every day. Like even decorate my room purple. It's just something that I just love looking at it and associating myself to it. Because even in
I think,
the Bible, even in the Bible, the color purple is there. Is it scarlet?
and I think I wear purple once a week. Like today, I'm wearing purple earrings just to remind me I'm that girl and I like mystery. Like, I have elements of purple everywhere. I have purple necklaces, earrings, dresses, cardigans. It's like, so whenever I am wearing, I have like my favorite colors somewhere within the week. I don't know if there's ever a week where I'm not wearing something I love or something that's my color. I just need a reminder to say I'm that girl, even if I'm doing this. And one thing I love about you is you're that girl. You started your own thrift business. Worked in different areas and now you're studying your master's. How does that feel?
I'm doing my master's. Really something that I didn't think of doing it now, I thought
Yeah.
I would my master's maybe later on, maybe like 5 years after getting married, or
You probably had the kids then.
yeah, but it's been great. It's been really good. I think it's best to just do everything in advance and then settle down and start a family. So, okay,
So
I'm trying to be modest. I did. I'm trying to be, let me just tell the truth. So, like, after graduating, after doing my bachelor's degree from the University of Zambia, I started work. 2 years later, I started working for a government agency in Choma. And at that point, my then husband, my then fiance, or my then boyfriend, encouraged me to start my master's. Even my mom, she was like, maybe you should start your master's right now. In fact, you should do your master's before you get married. But for me, it was a little bit overwhelming. I'm like, I just started working, and then I get into a master's. But then, okay, let me see what will happen. So I applied at the University of Zambia, and I got in, even enrolled in environment and natural resource management
Isn't
at.
that under climate change somewhere? Don't you guys talk about climate change and stuff? It's environment.
Actually, I always wanted to do climate change, but there was no climate change at UNSA for a master's degree. So I decided to just do anything environmental. Since my undergrad, I did environmental, and I wanted to continue in the same path. So I applied, I got in, I even started. I did the first year. Second year was research. I even submitted my research proposal. But along the way, an opportunity came up. I applied for a scholarship, an African Union scholarship. And by the grace of God, I got it. So now I'm in Algeria studying climate change policy under a scholarship of the African Union. So this experience has been so different. It's been very peculiar. I've gotten to connect with a lot of people from different parts of Africa. I've made lifelong friends. So it's been such an amazing experience, but also very humbling. And I've learned a lot of lessons, even just about myself. I think I've also grown as a person in this almost 2 year period, because I've been here for a year plus. So it's been an amazing experience. And yeah.
I like how you have such a close circle of people in your inner circle telling you to do something, even if it wasn't something you wanted, you still started. And then along the way, you found an opportunity to get to do something you want. It also shows that life is not just a narrow path, it really just takes you corner to corner. But then, if you really have that one thing you want, eventually, might not be at your time, you will get it. And that's
Exactly.
just like a thrill. And I'm listening to you talk half of the time. I'm just like, that's me. Leave me alone. Every day.
You guys, like, being part of this circle is for pressure. Because
Pressure.
the pressure is little, because everybody's doing things. And you have no choice but to just get up and be inspired. You cannot afford to just sit and watch. There's inspiration left, right, and center. So Pani is doing this, Miriam is doing this, Beatrice
Cholo
is
is
doing
doing
this,
this,
Paula
you're
is doing
doing
things,
this.
you are doing things. It's like You're even my husband is doing this.
He's doing, you mean like,
Home. The
so I was about to text your husband to say, "Sire, it's in America." Why are you adding pressure to the rest of us? Literally, I was just like, you know what? I can behave. I was just like, you know what? I should really ask Mr. Banda if he's in America. Because how
Exactly.
is he still here? And that's like the power of friendship and, yeah, the power of friendship and community, because it goes from just saying, you know how you're like, oh, you don't want to do that, we'll leave you. In our friendship circle, we won't leave you. They'll even tell you that, you're on your own. No. That doesn't work here.
Help you with that.
We don't do that here. Please behave. And it's just like, it's so nice. And I would say we have grown so much last year. Last year was like the first time we did our vision party, or the first time we actually collectively decided to start doing stuff together as a team and friends. That made us closer to where we are now, that we're always doing sleepovers, we're always having parties, we're always going out. And from that, we also have the parts where we all have individual friendships with each other. It's just like an amazing thing to see.
Really amazing because everybody brings something unique to the friendship, to the group. I can sit down, interact with Sopani. I'll get a different perspective, even if I'm trying to ask for advice on certain things. And for Sopani will always teach you something new. Literally, yeah. All the time, because remember the last 2 days we had,
They are we're going for a
we're learning
sleepover
about
at
taxes.
Yeah. Well, I think
Right?
you just didn't know about that. I knew, but yeah, I think you did
I
not.
knew a little bit about it. I just
But the conversation was so
I didn't know
in-depth.
about the threshold.
I know, right? And I for it was what, at 8 in the morning? Why are we having a text conversation at 8 in the morning on a Monday?
Yeah, for me, I was like, oh, I didn't know about this. So different friends will bring different perspectives, like different lessons. When I talk to Beatrice, when we have conversations, our conversations are so enriching, they're so empowering. She'll take you to the Bible. She'll explain certain things, certain deep things that I can't understand. Just like yesterday, I was in a room and I was trying to understand, like speaking in tongues. She just dived right in, started explaining, started quoting the Bible. She's like, this is why this happened. This is why you're supposed to do it. I was like, okay. Thank you, Mama. So, and then when you talk to Cholwe, Cholwe will encourage you about your mental health. She'll talk about self-awareness. She'll talk about how you can take care of yourself mentally, things that you should do to get there. When I talk to Miriam, she'll give you investment ideas. So it's when I talk to you, it's like everything that I've described, but in one with a lot of energy. So
Do you know the times when you cut my call because you're just like, I am dealing with you right now, I'm done, and you cut the call, I text that call, you don't pick up, and you're out for the day, and I'll talk to
have to mentally prepare myself. When you call, I'm just like, am I ready for ACA right now? Okay, let's do this.
And that's the thing also about Cholo. Cholo is our group reminder to love yourself and your mental health.
Exactly.
Cholo
So
just
it's
say, I
all
don't have
about
the
self-love.
medical Cholo is a definition of self-love.
So, I've literally witnessed Chola when I went to her house.
Yeah.
Her elder sister called her complaining about something at home. She literally just said, I'm about to take a nap. I can't talk about this right now. Can you call me after I wake up? She even hung up. I was like, wow. Maybe like trolley.
I'm a little bit like Chola, but Chola is an extreme or something I love. I love, love how Chola just navigates life, guys.
Not our boundaries.
It's so interesting. And just one of my favorite reminders is just if I aspire to have a romantic relationship, I look at you and your husband. And because they said I'm a joy and I'm a bundle of energy, every time I see your husband, I scream. And then I he tells you about to just say, your
That
husband.
tells me. Like I meant Aka at school, and she the way she came back. I'm like, Aka for you.
I love your relationship so much, and I love how you guys have got married in a whole vintage wedding, by the way. Got married, and there's so much room for growth, and seeing how you guys just decided to navigate life differently. And as much as you are a couple, you also pursue your individual stuff and then bring it back to the table. And I always tell him to say, you and your wife inspire me. He always says, "Aka the pressure." And I'm like, no, but if I ever end up with somebody, I want to have such a relationship. How's it been seeing that relationship grow and blossom?
Been amazing because it's not like everything just started when we just got married. Andrew has always been supportive, even from the time we were dating. We would talk, we talked about our goals, where we wanted to see ourselves individually, and also talked about how we both could help each other achieve their goal. We've been a team supporting each other in any way that we can. For him, I always say that he pushes me. Because there are certain times I tend to, I wouldn't say get comfortable. Okay, yeah, I do get comfortable, especially when I was working for the government agency in Choma. I reached a point where I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe this is it. Let me just stay where I am. Let me just work hard and, get a promotion and get transferred to Lusaka so that we are in the same home with my husband. So for me, that was where I got to. And then one day he just sat me down. He's like, I feel like you are settling. Like you've gotten comfortable and you don't want to do anything else. You're forgetting about what you're passionate about. And I tried to be defensive, but deep down, I knew it was true. So I was like, okay, what do you want to do? I said, I still want to, because what I was doing is was way, it was away from my field and whatever I'm passionate about, because I love everything to do with environmental protection, environmental awareness, climate change. And I was in the finance. So you can tell how far away I had drifted from my career. Yeah, so he said, so what do you want to do? I said, I would still want to go back to environmental or climate change. He said, okay, so then you should put a time frame. Like, how long do you want to work there? I said, okay. I can just be here maximum 2 years. So at that point, I even started talking to God. I was like, Lord, I don't want to be here. I know the benefits are great. This is a good job. I have health insurance. It's pensionable. It's all this and that. But it's not something that I want to do for the rest of my life. So that's how he would send opportunities to my inbox. Apply for this, apply for this, apply for this. And he would always, like, he would literally just nag me. Remind me every week, did you apply? Did you apply? So sometimes I would apply for certain things just to say, okay, I applied, just so I wouldn't lie to him and say I applied when I didn't. So he sent me this the same scholarship, the African Union, and he said, apply. I said, okay, I'll apply. Days went by. Kept on asking if I'd apply because I had to gather some documents to attach to the application, such as recommendation letters from my former lecturers. Yeah, so to cut the story short, I applied on the deadline. I think about 2 hours before the deadline. Okay, if I tell you, I was pissed. Do you know pissed? And you know, when you are dealing with deadlines, there's just something that
Anything
happens.
can happen.
There's just something that happens to the computer. It's like the laptop just knows that you're panicking. It jumps. I think I submitted my application about 10 minutes before the deadline. I remember going. We both went to bed pissed at each other. For I was pissed. I'm like, why are you pissed at me? Why do you have to do everything at the last minute? I've been reminding you every week. So when I applied, I even forgot about it. I'm like, I don't think I'll even get it because, I mean, the quality of the application, I did everything haphazardly. So I forgot about it. But, months went by.
And you're
I go,
here.
I'm here. Got an email. I'm here. I was interviewed. Everything was so surreal. Then I heard it's Algeria.
It's Algeria. Oh my goodness.
Algeria. And then Algeria, they just speak Francais and
Hi, bonjour.
Arabic. And then
Bonjour.
I heard bonjour. I had not that I had to learn French, I had to learn sign language. You have to learn sign language first because you can't just get here and start, Algeria is a whole different culture away from Southern Africa. It's like you're just in the Arab world. Everything is different. The religion, it's Muslims, just the culture in general. Everything is so different, so off from everything that I'm used to. So, but it's been interesting getting to learn about the Algerian culture, even getting to learn about Islam. Because in Zambia, yes, we have Muslims, but we don't have that close interaction with them. It's like they have their own community and we also have our own. But here you get to interact directly with the Muslims. And if you're curious like me, I've gotten to learn a lot because I ask a lot of questions. Whenever I find someone who can at least understand English, I'll bombard them with questions. And I've gotten to learn some Francais as well.
You and I are learning
Oh,
French.
yeah. Kudos to that. I'll be bilingual
Kudos.
very soon.
Yeah. One thing I noticed from your social media and just our interactions and pictures is the landscape and the buildings. The architecture there is the right term. Like, it's so beautiful, and you are like a tourist in that country. Are you really there for school? Or are you just traveling, girl? Are you traveling, traveling?
Even here, my friends, my classmates are always telling me the same thing. And like, maybe they're always going, but you're always touring. I'm like, guys, I always say, me, I came here as a tourist. I didn't, school is just a by the way.
Excuse your side hustle.
School is just a by the way. But Algeria is so beautiful in terms of architecture, the landscapes. It even snows in winter. I mean, it's like everything in one. And
Experience? No.
if you want to deceive people, especially when you go to the capital, Algiers, or even Oran, you can even tell people you are in Paris. Because you know how the British colonized Zambia? It's like we've adopted their architecture. Algeria was colonized by France. So it's like the way you see Paris has a lot of similarities with some of the buildings. In fact, all the buildings, especially in the capital. You can tell people, I'm in Paris, even take a picture. Someone who's never been here will believe you. It's very
Believe
you would believe me.
do that. I really want to go to Paris, so I would do that. If you believe me, that's your own problem.
It's very beautiful, and the people are very nice, especially the women.
What's your favorite city in Algeria?
Algeria, my favorite city
Or
is,
the favorite place you visited?
I'll say Sidi Bel Abbès. It should be about 40 kilometers from where I am. It's a little. They actually call it Le Petit Paris. It's like little.
It's a small Paris.
Yeah, it's so cute. It's very small, and like everything that I've described, it's literally small Paris, even though I've never been to Paris. But it's very nice. So that's my favorite of all of them that I've visited. And then I'll say Oran, and then Algiers. You know, Algeria is very big. It's like the
Yeah, you told
biggest
me.
country in Africa, and they have like 58 provinces, and I've only visited less than, should be less than 10.
You should at least visit 10 before you come back, by the way. I hope.
I'll try my best.
Please represent me well.
Don't worry, I will not disappoint you. So yeah, Algeria is very interesting.
So you've been in Algeria for 1 year, 8 months, I think. Like you're clocking 2 years, you'll be clocking 2 years next year, and you've
Yes.
been studying climate change advocacy or policy, right? One of the two. And so yeah, like I'd like to know, what does that entail? What exactly are you studying?
So, climate change policy is basically the term itself, climate change policy. It's climate change, but on the policy aspect. It's about pushing for policies that are going to help with climate change activities, policies that are going to push for, low carbon economies, climate change strategies that align with local needs. So basically, pushing for national policies. I'm studying ways of how I can contribute to influencing policy in my country in terms of climate change.
And what do you think is like our gap in policy? Like when you compare it, like the Western world and Africa, or just where you're at, which is Algeria and the southern side of Africa. Like what do you, have you noticed any gaps in policy concerning climate change?
Definitely. We have policies. We have really great policies, even just in Zambia, even Africa. And like from what I've learned here, because we've gotten to analyze certain policies, certain country policies. And like after analyzing, you realize that these policies are good. World-class policies. The issue is the implementation. Also the finances, and also the technical expertise to implement the projects, these policies. So we have great policies. The only issue is the implementation.
And implementation is such a big gap in Zambia, right? It's like just not even with the climate change policies. We've noticed that there's just a gap in implementation in almost everything because we create these good policies, then we don't have the experts or the finance to implement them. So that's like a really big gap for us as a country.
But then again, you know, it's
Opal and the attitude, by the way.
attitude, but also, you know, if Aka, for example, if you don't have money, okay, let's say you are hungry. What's your first priority when you're hungry?
Eat.
Okay. The first thing that you want to do is find food.
Yeah.
Then advocate for climate change.
True.
So even when it comes to the national budget, there's little money that is allocated for environmental protection and like climate change activities, because obviously the country
In
is
a
in
drought, it's experiencing a drought right
ah.
now. Yeah.
So there's a lot going on, and climate change is the last that anyone wants to think about when it comes to addressing the country's problems. The first thing they want to do is, you know, secure food, deal with the drought, find means to look for food and feed the people of Zambia. So the issue is dealing with
The
is
immediate
yeah the
problem.
immediate problems, because when you deal with the hunger issue, people will be empowered enough to deal with the problems that have to do with anything environmental and anything climate change. It's because, you know, even if you go to the villages and you introduce a project or a climate change project, even if you're just advocating, taking some advocacy or climate change activism in these marginalized communities, they will not even listen to you.
Because
They'll
they're
ask,
hungry.
they are hungry. You cannot advocate to people that are hungry. You need to offer solutions that tackles their immediate problems, and then introduce programs that deal with the climate change.
I love that point you just raised, how, as a country, we're now speaking to Zambia. Is I was in South Africa a few months back, or a few weeks back, and we were having conversations with my SA friends, and I was talking about how they have also good infrastructure. They do have certain things as problems, but if I told them, oh, this is some of the challenges we're going through as a country, they don't understand. So it also shows how we all have problems in different countries, but we're at different spectrums, right?
Okay.
For us as Zambia, we just want to deal with the hunger situation. We want to deal with the drought. We want to deal with the load shedding first, because that's what's urgent for us. So it might take us so many years to actually stabilize the country at that level. And what happens is the effect of us not dealing with climate change, we'll start seeing it later on, like we're experiencing it, but we can't, like, we prefer to deal with what's urgent now to the people than anything else. And that's like the gap between developing countries and developed countries, is we have different problems. Like, do you know, in America, if they had a storm or something and it destroys things in like a
They have
day,
the resources. They have the
they have the
resources.
resources. And you'd be surprised how they'll rebuild so quickly. America or China. It's like they'll rebuild so quickly. As if a building falls, that's it. That is it, guys. It, like, there's nothing. We even know as a country there's nothing we can do at this point. Let's just move on. It's so important to just know that there's that factor in life, and knowing we all have problems, we're just different, dealing them at different spectrums, even just as individuals. Like, what I have as problems now might not be a problem to you as members, right? Because you're just like, that's easy. You could just do this and this and this. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not easy for me because I'm dealing with it, and I'm dealing it for the first time, and I have to navigate it. But it just shows how there's so much to learn, and we should give ourselves grace as people, as a country, and just be sure when you compare, you're not just comparing with the wrong person, because we're all just in different spectrums at this point.
And that's the thing, because I always say that we have to be Even as climate change activists or for climate change advocacy, we need to be realistic with how we raise awareness. I hear people saying, no, people need to stop cutting down trees. It's important not to cut down trees. But then, is there an alternative to the cutting down of trees? What are people going to use to for their domestic use? What are people going to do when you advise them to stop a certain action? So we always need to provide alternatives, even as we advocate for these policies. And for me, I try to be as realistic as possible when it comes to environmental activism or climate change. I bring it to an individual level. Like, certain things that easily someone else can do in their daily lives. When you talk about sustainability, it could be a simple thing as, refusing to use plastic bags and opting for, like carrier bags when you go shopping, or avoiding bottled waters. Use a water bottle for that you get, like a permanent water bottle that you just refill. Have your own garden. Certain small things are very realistic than going all the way to, you need to stop doing that big thing. And then, so people
And you
get to
know one
understand.
thing, and it's the little stuff, right? The little stuff
Little
add up to
things
something.
matter. Exactly.
Yeah, they do add up. Actually, because of you, I move with my water bottle all the time. I have so many water bottles. My mom keeps buying us water bottles. We have so many water bottles that I know I'm leaving the house in like after this recording in 20 minutes, right? I have my water bottle. You just reminded me because I was just like, oh, I should leave my water bottle. It's such a chore. But you just reminded me, like, carry your water at home, refill it that side, and you're good. It's a little stuff.
You even save money. Like, you don't have to buy water.
And it's more than the money, right? Sometimes the little stuff compound. If you're always buying water, 5 kwacha, and you need to like drink a liter or so, how much is that, right? So you keep buying water, buying water. And one thing, I was at a breakfast meeting with somebody, and I just said, I can't date somebody that litters. Like, you just date as a human being. Because every time I'm walking, somebody got water or juice in a store. And we have these amazing people in Zambia cleaning our roads, picking litter after us. But the city is so dirty in Lusaka. And I'm just like, you bought this in a store? And then now you litter for the rest of us? I can't date you.
And it's really even just not littering. I think for me, when I see someone litter, I literally judge your entire existence. I'm like, is this person normal? How is your brain operating? How do you just randomly me even if I'm walking with my friends, they litter. I
No,
tell
not
them.
my friends. No friend of mine litters. If you litter, we're not friends. We might be acquaintances, but even like at university, like even my friends from high school knew that about me, and they'd go like, "Aka, could you just shut up?" And I'm like, "No, I get so emotional. I'm just like, why would you litter?
People don't get it. Like, why would
Dirty.
you need that? Just for someone else to come and pick it up for you. And most people will be like, no, I'm creating employment for someone else.
That's disgusting.
That is a very bad mindset, really. I mean, it's the little things that get to tell you about how
Someone.
someone operates or how
That's
someone
why I can't date somebody that litters. I can't. I'm very consistent with that. If I'm dating somebody and they litter, there are problems there because it's how you treat the small stuff, right? It's just not about
Yeah.
the littering, it's not about the act. It's about you as an individual. And if you're acting that way for that particular one thing, I can imagine how you do with the other little stuff. So even if I won't break up with you over littering, eventually people do, I'll find out something I don't like and I'm leaving. And so it's like,
So like, you know, but nowadays, if I'm working with one of my friends, maybe they're eating a banana and they throw away a banana peel. First, they'll give me a disclaimer, like it's non-biodegradable. They'll be like, oh no, it's biodegradable. A banana peel is biodegradable. Like,
That's me on the
okay.
banana peel. That's me. That's me too. I'm like, oh, this can actually
Biodegrade.
rot. Yeah, this is
Yeah.
good environment. But just in general, littering is something we shouldn't tolerate. It's just like
That is a red flag. That is a red
a
flag.
red flag. It's a very red flag. And being with somebody who doesn't litter is a green flag. And people don't even realize how it's like the tiny, tiny little details. And I'm so obsessed with them. And I'm just like, okay, cool. Is this too much? Yeah, like for anyone listening and ever wanted to ask me out, if you litter, I can't date you.
I support
Facts.
that. Bye.
It's been a joy watching you just evolve into this person you are. And I'm just like, when you look back to your childhood, what's like your favorite memory that when you look back, you're like, ah, this did add value to the person I have become?
I think for me, I'll say this, the sit downs with my dad. I don't want to say I'm dad's favorite, right? But I
I
hope
know
that
that
none of them listens to this, but I'm dog's favorite.
feeling.
I'm very close to my dad and we have such a close relationship. I'm also close to my mom, but not as much as I am with my dad. So when I was young, he would always say a lot of positive things in my life. I always say my love language is words of affirmation.
It actually is a love language, by the way.
Yes. And I think I would say it started from my dad. Because even during when I was like in primary school, okay, not primary school. When I was in school from grade one to about grade three, whenever I come back from school, I remember the first thing that I would do was go to my dad, give him my books so that he sees how I did at school, the things that I got correct, if I got 100%, and he would be so proud of me. So that was like a very huge motivation for me because I've always wanted to continue to make my parents proud, especially my dad. It's like, whenever you do something that pleases him, I would always expect him to say, "Well done, my daughter. You are so intelligent. You are so this. You're going to do great things in your life." So for me, those are some of my greatest memories. My dad, my dad affirming me all the time.
And that's so true. And sometimes all you need is to find that one person that believes in you. And it always starts from a young age to when you grow up, you have your friends, you get married, you have your husband, you still have your family, you still have your friends. I think you remind me, this story about you and your dad reminds me of my grandpa. Because I was that child. I'm still that child in the house, by the way. You expect that of me, but I was that child. And just having somebody, my grandfather would always say, Aka, you will go places. Like every time he'd tell us about stories of him traveling to London, da 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 da. And I could imagine myself flying. And that man one day told me before he died, a month before he died, was relocating to Lusaka. And he said, Mongu is such a small town for you. You need something bigger so that you can grow your wings and fly. And like we had a whole sit down conversation. I feel like that was him saying bye to me. Like that's like the highlight of before he died. We had a rough year as a family. But yeah, we had that sit down. We talked about family. We talked about some of my struggles when I was in Mongo, where I'm at. I was struggling because of my cousin's death. Then we also talked about my dreams and why I was relocating. And at that point, I was the only grandchild. We're two, my younger cousin, but I was like the only adult grandchild he was living with. But he was like, "You should go. You should relocate. I would be proud of you. I'd be happy." And he did. And a month later, he died. And I was just like, "I probably just needed to move." So that's what reminds me of him. Like your story with your dad reminds me of that.
No.
Where do you get your passion from for the environment?
I get my passion from a lot of sources, really. But particularly when it comes to climate change, like I said, I love my dad very much. And we have conversations, and sometimes he would just call me, and he would complain because he's a farmer. He would complain about the droughts or the lack of rains or delayed rainfall, and how all these things are affecting his crops, how he's fearful that he might not manage to secure food for a particular year. And this has been going on for a while. Even when I was in high school, he would go and complain. So for me, I wanted to understand this phenomenon, like why the issues with rainfall. So my interest started in high school during a project research. My passion really comes from wanting to make a difference in society. And it doesn't just, I'm not confined to a particular location, because say climate change is a transboundary issue, not just affect a certain country alone, but a whole region or a whole continent. So it's my family, it's the vulnerable communities in our societies that are going through the most as a result of climate change. And also, even though I'm just an individual, I want to add on to a larger group, like a larger push for policy, for advocacy. Yeah, so, and also my future kids, because these things just don't affect us. The legacy that we leave now is what is going to play out for our grandchildren, our children. So you want to leave a planet that is going to be conducive for them. You want them to benefit from planet Earth, the same thing that we benefit now. So the passion, the motivation comes from those different sources, really.
I like how you brought in legacy. You, I, Sopani, and Cholue, we had like a whole girls meet up past weekend, and we had a conversation about legacy. And ever since Sopani told me her point of view to say legacy or inheritance doesn't always have to be money or material stuff, it also comes to what you leave, what values, beliefs you leave for your kids and people around you, what they take. Has made me think about it a lot. And then I've started listening to podcasts that actually talk about that. And it's just reaffirming on if I die today, what will Mavis remember me on? Would she remember me on the gifts I got her? Or she remember me for this and this and that? Yeah. And in our circle of friends, we like to normalize certain conversations like money, death. And it's just like, again, one of surfaced places, but not really, it's safe for content, but not comfortable kind of friendship that we're really, I am grateful for. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, legacy is really not just about money, because we're just from talking about littering.
Yeah.
Do you want to see your kid litter? What
No.
legacy, what example do you want to leave for your offsprings? It's the little things and the big things and the, tangible things that you want to leave for your kids and the future generations. You want them to remember you for being responsible, for being caring, for having a heart for people, being compassionate and all.
That's so true. And since we're coming to the end of the podcast, that was quick. My goodness, that was quick. I would like to give you an opportunity, Mavis, to ask me a question.
Okay. I do have a question. I have two, so I can only
Okay,
ask.
cool. You can ask too. Feel free.
I know that you're a bookworm.
Yay, I am.
I have a list of books that you are reading this year. So,
I Is that a question?
I was giving a background.
Okay, cool. Sorry.
What has been your favorite book so far, from everything that you've read from the beginning of the year to now?
Oh, that's a good one. It's hard to pick. It's hard to pick. I have to check my Instagram for this. I'm on my Instagram. Okay, I see some of my favorites. I am going to give context to why they're my favorites. I am gonna pick three. Kind of the highlight. But the first one, when you asked the question that came to mind was 0 to 1. By Peter Thiel. It's a really good book. It opened my mind in a different way to think about life and business and how to build a company. I borrowed this book from our friend Miriam. I want to steal it. I know she hasn't read it, but I want to buy my own book. That's how good it was. It's like a smart experiment kind of book. Yeah, it used the lean methodology, which is a methodology of trying something quick, and if it has any glitches, you go back to it and fix it, kind of thing. Does that make sense? And that's how I'm living my life. I'm doing a lot of smart experiments. So smart experiments are experiments where you try something out, it works, and if it works, you ask why it worked and check if one why would it not work again. Doesn't work, it's a lesson, it's not a failure, so you do that. So that's what the lean, that's what 0 to 1 does. It just gives you the mindset to say everything in life is an experiment. If you do it fast and learn from it and just keep doing that thing, and we just reimagining it, we're doing it in a different way to make it work perfectly, then you'd be great for business. So 0 to 1 is like one of my favorite, and I did like Grit. I had Grit for like 2 years on my bookshelf.
Was just there waiting to be read.
I have so many books on my bookshelves that I haven't read, and I don't think people realize that I'm also very picky, and sometimes it's just never the good season. So Grit is just, what's that word? Persistence. It teaches you persistence, and if you keep doing something and you believe it's going to work, it takes you back to 0 and 1, like 0 to 1. You keep doing something, you're flexible towards your goal. Then my last one, so that's Grit. So Grit is by Angelina Duckworth. The last one that I love is, how many books did I read? Same as Ever. Same as Ever is by Morgan Housel. He wrote The Psychology of Money. So Same as Ever just talks about the stuff that will always remain the same, decades, year, decades out. And it's such a good book. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of things will change, but these are things that remain constant. And you're like, true, I saw this somewhere. This is true. I saw this and I'm like, yeah. So Same as Ever is also one of my favorite books of the year. So far, I have a lot, but yeah, these are like my this is my list so far. And it feels good. What was your second question?
To borrow those books as well.
You never bring back books. I know this is why none of your friends give you.
Wow.
Honestly, all know you.
Did I bring back the shark? Super Panu.
Where did you bring it back? 2 years later. It was saying that you're not getting a book when I was getting a book at her place.
Andrew knows. I've carried books. I've carried books from home. Every time I ask, I'm like, "Babe, can I carry it?" He's like, "You are not going to read." I'm like, "I live here. Like, we live together. What do you mean? Coming back to the house? Don't leave me."
Honestly, if the person you live
This
with
is
doesn't.
my own house, another dress. This is not a good reputation.
It's not. Maybe it's for moving on. I don't know if. And the only way you can get a book from me is if you come home to
I
my
read
house.
from
Yeah, you're
there.
gonna come when you visit. It's easier to convince me to get a book than for me to get a book from my bookshelf to bring it to you because I know Mavis won't bring it.
It's
What was
clear
your second
the
question?
world against me.
Yeah, just buy your books, honey. What was your second question?
Second question was about the highlight of your year.
It's hard to pick one. I feel like I've had so many lows and so many highs. I think my highlight was for the year was when I stopped working.
Wow.
I stayed for 3 months with no job. I got back from South Africa in April. Then May, June, July, August, I had no job. Is that 3 or 4 months? That's 4 months. I was living off my savings again, save money. So yeah, that's the highlight of my year. Literally was not working, was staying home. The podcast was running, so that's what kept me busy. And I had a few people in my circle that I would talk to here, then, and then. But I was just mostly at home, minding my own business, watching Netflix. I wasn't even reading. Yeah. It was a good 4 months. Like I know by August I was working on a few stuff, and I also had a part-time job that I did on Saturday. But yeah, like August, I feel like I've gone back to being me, and I'm like so busy now. Like the rest of the year is coming to an end. I'm busy. I'm working again. But yeah, not having a job is a highlight of my DM. It humbles you. It shows you that you don't have to have it all figured out. You even ask for money. Like, literally, I just text an uncle to say, you know what, I want this and I can't afford it right now. Can you get it for me? And they do. And it just humbles you. So it's such a humbling process. It's a good way to transition. I feel like I completed school in December. I started working in December. Then January, February, March, April was such a high. And I was so anxious. I was panicking. I wasn't sleeping so well. So I didn't rest. Like last year was a full year too. This past six, the past 4 months of this year was a full as well. It was a 10, 10, 10, 10 that I just reached my zero and I left my job. And I don't know if I got fired or I left my job. I think I left. Yeah, and I just quit and. Yeah, that's like now that I look back, that's my highlight. Quitting and not having a job. And yeah, that's the nicest thing I have done all year was not work for anybody for 4 months. That was fun. And I wouldn't do it again like that. If I do it again, I would go backpacking to a different country, but I would still work somehow. But I just think I also needed to have a time to just stay home. And my parents knew. And I just said, I don't want a job. And if I wanted something, I'll tell my parents. Which is so cool. It felt good to be a child.
Right. I wish.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I grew up quickly. I'm in my child zone right now. Everybody in my family knows. Literally, I'm in my child zone. I ask for stuff. Can you do this for me? Could you, like, oh, I'll just say I don't want to do that. Or I just say, wait, let me call my uncle. He probably has a solution to what you're saying. I even say, let me ask for permission, but I live alone. That's who I am as a person, and I love it.
Oh, this has been so enriching.
It
Thank you.
has. My last question for you is, what do you look forward to?
I look forward to slowing down. I
Ooh.
just want to come home.
Yay, we missed
I just be home. It's
you.
the thing that a homeowner or a housewife can do.
I support you.
Okay. But sometimes I'll just randomly tell Andrew, I'm like, "Ah, babe, I just have a housewife." And
Sort
so when
of
I
thing.
came back home, I felt home for a few days. I was like, "Yeah, this is." By the fourth day, I was bored. I was over it. I was like, "What can I do to keep myself busy?" And then I'm like, "Babe, I don't know about this housewife thing." So he never knows what mood I have at the particular period. But I'm very grateful for the friendships that I have formed right here in Algeria. I have made friends from West Africa, from Nigeria, from Ghana,
Well,
from all over Africa. So I'm so grateful for these new friendships that are now pouring into me. I'm getting to learn a lot about them, about their backgrounds, about their cultures, about their food. So I'm very open to a whole new chapter after this master's. And I'm not starting my PhD immediately. I'm just going to be
I
resting.
love how you guys have the master's life, PhD life. Just don't add me to the list. Has been my memo for the past few months. I think I'll add on. Even if when you see me do it, there should be another reason behind it because you're already talking about PhD. Where are you going? Like Dr. Mavis? Okay.
Dr. Mavis. So
Dr.
now,
Mavis.
do I want to be okay? I think I will be Dr. Mavis Banda. I'll just add the hyphen. Spooky.
Mavis, this was so much fun.
Very excited for the adventures that will come after
Me
this.
too. Me too. So thank you so much, Mavis, for showing up and having fun on this episode with me. Literally, I love you for that. And for everybody listening, I hope you share this to your friendship circle and hope you get some nuggets when it comes to friendship, community, and sustainable living with us. But yeah, this was such an enriching and energizing episode to record. Like, I feel so energized just having a conversation with Mavis, and I talk to Mavis every day. So like bringing Mavis here is so energizing, and I love it. I love her energy, and hope you guys love this episode too. But this is it from us, and bye.
Bye.